From the letter of 2 Timothy, in which the author is reflecting back on both a life and a ministry, right at the end of the letter, the fourth chapter. As for me, I am already being poured out as a libation, and the time for my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. And then familiar words from the book of Revelation toward the end of that book as well. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God will be with them. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. For the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life." May God bless this reading and hearing of this holy word. Dean Campbell of Duke Divinity School recalls when his daughter, Margaret, was very young. They'd bought his father a pipe in England. It was to be his special surprise Christmas present. But when Margaret saw her grandfather just a few weeks before Christmas, she blurted out, "Hi, Granddaddy, we're going to give you a pipe for Christmas." Well, Campbell was shocked. Later, he told Margaret, "You should not have told Granddaddy we're going to give him a pipe for Christmas. That was supposed to be a surprise." Unfazed, little Margaret responded, "Don't worry. By Christmas, Granddaddy will have completely forgotten about it." That's getting a little too close to the truth right there, right? But you know, it is easy to forget. To forget what is important, what really matters. To forget so many things. But the saints in our lives, the ones who fought the good fight, finished the race, kept the faith, the saints help us to remember. Just, gosh, I think 24 hours after Andy Lopez died in Santa Rosa, there was a gathering of clergy on a Thursday morning. And we talked about having a vigil that night. No politics, no speeches, just some prayer, just a quiet time over there at Moreland Avenue. So we set it all up. And then when the evening came, I'd had a family gathering. We're actually celebrating my wife Betty's birthday, and there's lots of stuff, and I thought, oh, I don't want to go all the way over there for this. There'll be other people there. And so just as I was talking myself out of it, I remembered a story about my sister Sharon, who, as you know, died several years ago from cancer. It's actually a story told by my father. He and her youngest daughter, Gracie, were driving somewhere, and they went over a bridge. And Gracie asked Grandpa, "Do homeless people live under that bridge?" "I don't know," he said, "maybe." Then Gracie said, you know, my mommy helps people like that. And she did. Sharon, a woman of faith, was passionate about justice, fairness, about helping and serving the least of these. She gave up a good job in a large law firm in Minneapolis to go back to Arizona, where until she was too sick to work, she practiced poverty law, working long hours, making next to nothing, giving a voice to those who had no voice. My mommy helps people like that. And in that moment on that Thursday, I remembered the story. I remembered my sister. I picked up my robe and went to the vigil. To this day, she just will not allow me to pass by on the other side because she never did. You know, some people can really get on your nerves when they take the teachings of Jesus seriously. And she still helps me after all these years to remember what matters. About 8 days ago, we had a little wedding here at the church. And afterwards, big, beautiful reception in Memorial Hall, which Kathy Mathis and other her elves had beautifully decorated. And it was a beautiful day on that Saturday, and a lot of folks were out in the courtyard. And I saw Edwin Wilson, our architect, was there, and I went over to him and said, gosh, you know, who would have known, who would ever thought that this courtyard would be such a wonderful gathering place for people? I wonder who designed that. And he said, who knew? Who knew? Huh? And yet, you know, right then as I was talking to Edwin, my mind went to Ed Bodden. Not all of you will remember Ed Bodden. But Ed was really the driving force in our church behind the building of Memorial Hall. He was really our connection to the contractor. He got a passion for it. He pushed him. He pushed us. And he did not let us down. Well, right toward the end, Ed was diagnosed with cancer, and he actually died before we completed Memorial Hall. And a lot of the finishing responsibilities for that building went to a young architect in our church named Edwin Wilson. And Edwin and I haven't talked too much about this, but you know, as he designed Pilgrim Center and the new patio, I just have this feeling. I like to think of Ed Bodden just sitting there on his shoulder saying, remember. Remember what this means. Make this something special. Which is exactly what he did. The saints hold us accountable. Help us to remember. As I said, this is All Saints Sunday, a day when we remember the saints in our lives, in our church, when we remember their witness, the many ways they helped to shape us. We honor the people we love who have died by remembering them, remembering the best about them, appreciating them. And as we light candles today later in the service, I suspect many of you will recall, well, one aspect of a remembered loved one that touched you most, their courage, their compassion, their sense of humor, their joy of life, maybe some weird but memorable eccentricity that made them who they were. But is that all there is to this day, just remembering? The ancient Greek leader, Pericles, spoke of the presence of the dead among us. Even in death, they speak to us. When he declared in his famous funeral oration, for the whole earth is the sepulcher of famous men, and their story is not graven only on stone over their native earth, but lives on far away without visible symbol, woven into the stuff of other men's lives. Well, that, I believe, is a really significant thing to think about on this All Saints Sunday. Just how are the saints we have known and loved, now woven into the stuff of our daily lives. Could it be that in remembering the dead, again, those who fought the good fight, in remembering the dead, we remember how to live? The thing about them that we miss so very much, again, I think of my sister's great passion for justice. Could we add a little bit of that to our life here and now? Father took his son into a large cathedral on a bright sunny day. Sunshine shone through a number of beautiful stained glass windows. The father said to the little boy, "These windows show pictures of the saints." "Do you know who the saints are?" The child, looking up at the glowing windows, answered, "Yes. The saints are the one who the sun shines through." He was right. The saints are the ones through whom the sun shines through. People whose lives proclaim the truth of the gospel of Christ. Great theologian Paul Tillich once said that a saint is a saint not because he or she is good, but because he or she is transparent for something that is more than herself or himself. Being a means of grace, being the place in which the Holy Spirit makes its dwelling, being the transparent window through whom the sun shines. This is the vocation not of just an exalted few, but of each and every one of us. That is why shepherds are summoned to the manger, why unsuspecting women are summoned to the tomb on that first Easter morning, why fishermen and the most ordinary of people are summoned into the vanguard of the Jesus movement. It is through them, through us, that Christ is seen and known. We did have a little wedding here a few days ago. We've had a lot of weddings here. But I got to tell you, because I know it's true, the wedding of Daryl and Alvin, well, because of this one wedding, a number of non-church folks experienced and saw for perhaps the very first time a concrete expression of the extravagant welcome and acceptance of Jesus Christ. Something we talk about a lot around here. Again, who knew? On that Saturday, you see, many of you were the saints. Through you, the light did shine. Through you and your welcome, there was an opening to a new creation. To that promised new heaven and new earth. So yes, today we remember the saints of our lives and of the church. But again, I challenge you to reflect on how you might bring something of their special qualities into the world today. How you might add a little of them to your life as you now seek to fight the good fight and faithfully run the race that is before you. For now, you are the saints of God. The ones through whom the sun shines. And so on this All Saints Sunday, I do give thanks for the saints, all of them, including each of you. It is no small achievement. Whether one is in a hospital ward, a hardware store, an office cubicle, a school classroom, no small achievement to live like a saint. Amid the cares and challenges of everyday life, somehow, to keep your eyes fixed on the things of God, to reach out in compassion, to testify to God's promised kingdom in the middle of all of our little transitory kingdoms. This is no small spiritual achievement. And so it is my consistent hope that here on Sunday you receive the gifts you need to keep at it. I hope here you receive the encouragement, the equipment, the grace needed to keep on keeping on. for you might be the only word from the Lord that many people will ever hear. So go ahead. Much like the saints who have gone before us, dare to be God's word in a troubled, hurting, confused world. Speak that word. Embody it in all you do. For the saints of God are just folk like me, and I mean to be one too. Amen.